everybody, and welcome to episode 148 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I am Ron, as always, joined by the man who lied about getting the vaccine just to get a free Krispy Kreme, Brian. Brian, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing great. It's Thursday. It is the last Thursday of March.
Okay.
Which can mean only one thing, and that is that we've got one of the highlights of my month on our After Dark over on Patreon. We've got our monthly pajama party where our Patreon subscribers come on to the show. They join us I don't think we've done an After Dark pajama party that was less than an hour.
No.
It is a solid
party. Entertaining.
Oh, absolutely. It's a lot of fun. We get personal. We get funny. We get sassy, spicy, sexy.
All of the above. So if you want to join us tonight, go to ronandbrianpodcast.com. Click on the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That's where you can join our Patreon. Bronze subscribers and higher get access to the live After Dark that'll take place about an hour and a half from now. In the meantime, let's get things rolling, Brian, with Drink of the Week.
Drink of the week.
Nazdrovia.
Salud.
Drink of the week.
Sláinte.
Fools.
Drink of the week. Drink of the week. Drink of the
week. All right, Brian, what are you drinking this week?
What does this look like to you, Ron?
Oh, it looks like a double IPA.
Coming from our friends at Coronado Brewing Company, we've got the Never Better Double IPA. This is brewed with a vibrant blend of Vic Secret, Mosaic, and Citra hops. It's a double IPA bursting with hop flavors of a tropical mango, passion fruit, and resinous pine. Because wow. What do I want to taste when I'm drinking my beer? Pine, just like George Brett did. One sip, and I'm going to go from good to never better. Coming in at 8.1.
Oof. You are starting strong, my friend. I hope you are still with us come the After Dark. How is that double IPA for you?
Ooh, that's good.
All right.
It's not too... it's very flavorful, but the hoppiness isn't really overpowering, which is the problem I have with a lot of different IPAs. So I am quite happy with this.
All right. Mm. Good to hear.
Ron, what do you got?
So as always, I have to go local. We got to support our local folks. I was out at our good friends, Broken Goblet Brewing out in Bensalem, PA. Had a little music night going on, but had to go when they had this new session release that just came out. That's right. Stonks and Stimmies, a new amber ale aged on oak, giving it notes of burnt brown sugar, vanilla, and clove. It clocks in at a respectable 4.9%. Get a look at that color right there. I've actually already had a few of these. It's fantastic, but I'm going to have another.
Now, it looks beautiful. The question is, does it taste as good as it looks?
It tastes as good, if not better. And you know, we like anything with the word stonks in it.
Stonks.
All right, back again.
Something tells me we're going to hear that song a little bit later. I don't want to give away. I mean, spoiler alert. You may hear that song a little bit later.
We have quite the lineup, so we want to make sure we get through things here. So let's keep it rolling with This Week in Racism.
This
week
in
racism.
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 So much racism, Brian. Unfortunately,
I thought we were going to have a good week.
Two pages of it. I actually had to shrink the font. Just to keep it on two pages. So let's get going here. Going out to San Jose, California, where there was a black Starbucks customer who said he was discriminated against. Bryce Ward, who said he was the only black person in the store during the incident, alleges that a manager demanded he wait for his order outside because the store was at capacity per COVID-19 social distancing orders, but he watched non-Black customers walk into the restaurant hassle-free. Starbucks has apologized to Ward and promised to retrain its employees on how to deal with customers and COVID-19 restrictions in the future. Starbucks also told a local news station that they don't have video of the incident from the store security camera. It's kind of suspicious, that is. Louisville, Kentucky. I mean, obviously, been a tough year in Louisville with the murder of Breonna Taylor. The reports coming out about racism within the Louisville Police Department. And it continues as an employer within the Louisville Metro Police Department has filed a lawsuit alleging racial bias and discrimination within the department's hiring process. Officer Philip Satterthwaite filed the lawsuit alleging that nepotism and the buddy system have resulted in Black officers not receiving promotions and special assignments that they are otherwise qualified for. According to the suit, Satterthwaite said he was rejected from positions at the department's Crime Against Children Unit and Robbery Unit in 2020 because he was scored unfairly during the hiring process, despite past positive performance reviews. Satterthwaite said he was also denied access to his interview files. He was later chosen as the diversity and inclusion officer under then Deputy Chief Levita Chavos to focus on equal opportunity for advancement and openness within the department, said in the lawsuit. Satterthwaite and Chavos worked together to try and address the racial equity problems that were present within the department. Their work together revealed that people were losing out on promotions because higher-ups were simply choosing their friends. After Louisville Police Chief Erica Shields took over earlier this year, the suit alleges that Satterthwaite was removed from his position as diversity and inclusion officer and instead was given the, quote, window dressing job of recruiting Black employees. So Louisville.
That's a title?
Apparently it is. Going out to San Francisco, the Black vice president of the San Francisco School Board is refusing to resign amid fierce backlash over a series of racist tweets she made against Asian Americans in 2016. In the thread of tweets from December 4th, 2016, Vice President Allison Collins said that Asian American teachers, students, and parents had used, quote, white supremacist thinking to assimilate and get ahead. Collins explained that she was seeking to also, quote, combat anti-Black racism in the Asian community and at my daughter's mostly Asian American school. Her post also contained racial epithets, including a reference comparing Asian Americans to house N-words. Collins expressed regret for the pain her words caused, but declined to admit her tweets were racist and insisted that they were taken out of context. Collins eventually did apologize this past Tuesday night at a school board meeting, but did not plan to resign her position. Instead, two other school board members plan to introduce a resolution at a special meeting being held tonight that would strip Collins of her vice president position and committee assignments. Staying out in California in L.A., an investigation is underway after a driver sped through a red light and then rammed his car through a group of protesters who were marching in a Stop Asian Hate rally at the time. The incident unfolded around noon on Sunday in the Diamond Bar area. The suspect, described only as a white male in his 50s, also shouted racial epithets as he raced through the crosswalk, forcing marchers, some of them holding up signs, to scramble out of the way. Parts of the confrontation were recorded and shared on Instagram. Videos show the driver of a Black Honda Civic exiting his vehicle and shouting "fuck China" at the demonstrators as they passed by. Thankfully, no one was injured. In Pierce County, Washington, a sheriff is facing public pressure to step down after he called 911 to report he was threatened by a man lurking in his neighborhood, an allegation he later contradicted when talking to police and local media. Police County Sheriff Ed Troyer told a dispatch operator in a January 27th call, first reported by the Seattle Times, that a man going house to house in his neighborhood in the early morning threatened to kill Troyer, prompting dozens of police cars from multiple agencies to respond. Tacoma police officers discovered that the man, 24-year-old Celtric Altheimer, was a Black newspaper delivery driver, and Troyer told them that he was, quote, never threatened, according to an incident report obtained by the newspaper. Troyer denied that he had racially profiled Altheimer, telling the Washington Post that he began following the driver before he knew he was Black. He insisted that Altheimer threatened him, but that he decided not to pursue charges. The Pierre County Council would be hiring an independent investigator to probe Sheriff Troyer's conduct, while a number of community organizations continue to call on him to resign. Let's come back from the West Coast, hitting your area, Brian, New York City. A man urinated on an Asian woman aboard a Queens-bound subway train over the weekend. The disgusting act unfolded around 1:30 p.m. Saturday when the man pulled out his penis on an F train and started to relieve himself. The horrified woman shifted down the train, but the man then turned and started peeing on the subway seat next to her, splashing her with urine. The victim managed to snap a photo of the pervert, showing him dressed in all black with a mask pulled up over his nose. She also took photos of the wet train floor and seat. An MTA spokesperson said the agency is working with police to identify and arrest the suspect.
And that person was not me.
Well, good to know. Very good to know. I was concerned. Going up to Buffalo, New York, a radio host has been fired and two others have been suspended after making racist comments on air yesterday morning. Cumulus Media announced last night it terminated 97 Rock, the Morning Bull host, Rob Lederman, and suspended co-host Rich the Bull Gainsler and Chris Klein. The controversy began when Letterman compared toaster settings to the color of black women's skin tones as they discussed making toast for breakfast. Quote, I may get in trouble for this, Lederman said, but I have them set to the attractiveness of women I find to be attractive. I will never go to a Serena Williams level, but I'm very comfortable with a Halle Berry level. I need a little bit of mulatto still coming through. Klein asked about Gayle King, and Lederman said, Gayle King is not even on my toaster level. Sure what that means. Pegula Sports and Entertainment also fired Gainsler from his role as an in-arena host for Buffalo Sabres hockey games and Buffalo Bandits lacrosse. Lederman said he never saw himself as racist and denied intending to be hurtful. I wish you knew me, he told a local news station, and I wish that you were not judging me by any ignorant comments that I made in an attempt to be funny. That failed miserably. Shooting out down to Uniondale, New York, the white headmaster of a Catholic school on Long Island has resigned after the mother of a black student claims he forced her son to kneel while apologizing. St. Martin de Porres Marianist School accepted the resignation of headmaster John Holian on Wednesday. The student's mother, Tricia Paul, said that her son, Trayson, finished his reading early one day and took out another assignment. Paul said the boy's English teacher reprimanded Trayson for working on the wrong assignment, ripped up the paper, and marched him to Holian's office, where the headmaster told the sixth grader to get on his knees and apologize to the teacher. Paul said when she asked Holian about the unusual disciplinary action, the answer he gave seemed to point to her son's race. According to Paul, Holian said the punishment was not standard disciplinary action, but added that he learned the approach from a Nigerian father who said it was a, quote, African way of apologizing. Not that you need any proof that Catholic schools are horrible. We'll go down to Jacksonville, Florida. A compilation of video clips from recent public meetings at Jacksonville's Robert E. Lee High School garnered wide attention online, featuring controversial comments from some alumni speakers. The meeting was part of a series of community sessions meant to collect public comments on a measure to rename 9 schools in the Duval County School District due to the controversial history surrounding their namesakes. And we've got a clip here of a couple of the people speaking at that meeting.
I got here this evening and looked around and I saw shirts that says, I'm not a gang member. I guess I am a gang member. I'm a gang member from the class of 1966. This high school is having problems. How long has it been predominantly African American?
What? Obviously, that meeting went well.
Lee High School will
be holding one final meeting tonight regarding the renaming, after which an advisory committee will finalize a list of 5 possible names to replace Robert E. Lee. Those names will then go to a public vote during the last week of April and the first week of May.
How much do you want to bet that those that some of those names that are going to be considered are actually worse than Robert E. Lee? Like, what are the odds it's going to be like Donald Trump? Or
there probably at least one that is very borderline.
Also problematic. Yeah.
Yep. But I think our worst.
Are we done? Are we done with this week in racism? Because I'm done. I am tapped out.
But we have one worse than Robert E. Lee. And this, again, back to New York City. A woman hurled racial slurs at a bakery worker who asked her to leave for refusing to take basic COVID-19 safety precautions. Video shows the maskless woman confronting a worker at the Davidovich Bakery on the Lower East Side and using the N-word repeatedly until she was thrown out. Quote, I said, you're a bitch-ass N-word, a term they use, said the woman, who gave her name afterward as Stephanie De Niro. Quote, all of my children have a black father. That's a term I've heard them use all my life. So let's get a clip of this delightful woman.
Please leave.
Why?
No, Hello, you need to go.
That's what he is.
Excuse me,
bitch
ma'am.
Ass.
Hello,
heard,
ma'am, you
I
need to go.
It. You heard it.
Let me call a cop because this may have been very disruptive.
It doesn't affect me that you're not going to serve me because you're a bitch.
Yeah. So anyway, De Niro of Queens has recorded herself refusing.
Queens? Wait a second, she's from Queens?
She's from Queens and using racist language. And she told the Daily News she didn't care if this video went viral. It's actually great because they're forcing people in New York City to wear masks, De Niro said. It's political theater. I don't believe in COVID-19. It's a hoax to convince people to use absentee ballots to steal the election from Donald Trump. Spoiler alert, she's a Trump fanatic. Security guards
in a world.
escorted De Niro outside and called 911 to report the incident. But they ended the call when she was outside and no police report was made.
And today, and I think it was either earlier today or yesterday, she released a statement denying that she said the N-word.
Yes, even though it's on. And I think
we heard the video.
She is saying that she uses it with the hard A and not the ER at the end. But before
Excuse
we get
me?
Out. I think that's her defense in that she didn't really use the N-word with the ER at the end. She used it with the A, and she, again, fall back on the fact that all of her kids' fathers are black, so she can't possibly be racist.
Wow.
Before,
now, why wasn't she the lady that was peed on the subway? Why did that poor, innocent Asian woman get peed on the subway?
There's no justice in this world. Before we get...
And I'm not saying I want anybody to be peed on. I know that, you know, I'm drinking an 8.1 beer. I don't want anyone to get any type of... make any assumptions about me.
There you go. Before we get out of this segment, Brian, we
have... Oh, come on, please. Have you not figured out that I'm trying to get us out of this segment?
We have one last thing with Racism Rewind.
Racism Rewind.
For the last couple of weeks, we've talked about Teen Vogue and Alexi McCammond, who had resigned due to racist tweets she had made towards Asian Americans when she was in her teens. Well, now a senior Teen Vogue staffer who opposed Alexi McCammond's hiring as editor-in-chief over troubling tweets has herself repeatedly dropped the N-word in online posts. Christine Davitt, a senior social media manager at the Condé Nast magazine, had earlier this month made public a letter by staff complaining about McCammond's hiring in light of her past racist and homophobic tweets. Yet Davitt still had up old posts of her own in which she repeatedly dropped the N-word. She at least twice referred to a friend who appears to be white as the N-word in 2009, and the next year also used the N-word in a joke tweet. Levitt, who has not commented on her tweets, David, who has not commented on her tweets, has changed her social media accounts to private. There you go, Brian. Now we've got all the racism in.
What are your thoughts? I'm going to change the subject because it's just we spent 10 minutes on that shit. It's,
Ellie,
it's fucking painful. What are your thoughts about people that turn their social media accounts to private after a scandal or delete their accounts altogether? One of the stories I noticed in the paper today, I believe it was. And you can tell that I'm not a millennial when I use the word in the paper. because papers barely exist right now. But I saw that model slash
supermodel.
Not there's no way that woman is a supermodel. I'm sorry.
Slash cookbook author. You're referring to Chrissy Teigen taking her Twitter account down.
I can't help, and I know I asked you the question, but you didn't take the bait. I think that shit is so weak when someone sits there and makes the point of announcing that they're going to be leaving. Just leave. Just stop posting. Delete the app off your phone. Get rid of the bookmark. Stop going. You don't have to issue a press statement or publish something saying, due to whatever actions that are taking place, I will now be deleting my account. It's like, no, when you're walking out the door, you just walk out the door. Right. You don't stand and you know, pull a bullhorn and out of nowhere just feel the need.
You didn't have your bullhorn at the ready?
I did not, but now I regret it. Everyone, I am leaving the room!
No, I get it. I mean, I think in her case, because she had such a substantial Twitter following, and she didn't want to thank the people that were supportive of her, I think it just got way too negative for her. And I mean, she had a miscarriage, not a miscarriage, her son was stillborn a few months back, and people were fairly horrible to her on Twitter.
Hold on. Okay, let's talk about this. One, out of ignorance, this is pure ignorance. I'm not trying to be funny here. What is the difference between a miscarriage and stillborn?
I think stillborn is when you actually give birth and then the child is not alive, whereas an abortion is more of a medical
problem. Not abortion, miscarriage. Stop.
Miscarriage.
Stop.
A miscarriage, I think, is before the baby's completely formed. Why ask me? I'm not a woman, Brian. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a woman.
We have women in the group chat. Can somebody please tell me the difference between the two?
Move off the whole miscarriage.
Second thing is this. She got a lot of heat when she posted the photo of her and her husband holding the baby, correct?
Correct.
Was that not necessarily something that you needed to put out publicly?
I mean, I guess you could
also... I feel like by putting it out there, she's asking for feedback. And the second you put it out there on social media, and she knows this by this point, is the fact that you can't control what that feedback is going to be. I know she wanted to speak to a segment of the population, people that were going to be supportive and that were going to be kind and caring and would hear a message. But there's also a lot of terrible people out there that are also seeing that same photo.
I mean, I think she,
Thank you, Joe.
Was one of those people that would reach, want to connect with those that were there on her Twitter to be there in a positive way. And, unfortunately, you also have to deal for people that are there for negative reasons.
So then why didn't she just create a Patreon and talk to the same seven people every week?
Maybe that's what's coming next. I mean, maybe that's,
You think she's taking her...
She took the Twitter down, and then once people start to get their Teigen withdrawal, she'll be like, why don't you come join me over here on Patreon? For $25 a month, you'll get a free cookbook.
Do you think she's starting her own social media platform, AKA similar to like a Parler?
It's the hot thing to do. I mean, Mr. Pillow, my pillow guy, starting his own social media. Trump started his own social media. I think we may start our own social media network.
Whatever happened to our app?
We got to talk about that. I don't know if we, I got to see how it's being used. There are some issues with the Apple Store, so we'll take that offline. Put a pin in that.
I feel like I just hit a touchy subject that I should not have brought up. Okay. Because I feel like at this point I know you well enough that I know when I've said something that you do not want to talk about.
Okay. In fact, it's time for Beef of the Week.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
All right, Brian, What is your beef this week, my friend?
My beef of this week are friends who do not understand who I am.
Really? Explain. I need some. I need some context here.
I have a very close friend, who I feel like I've been very close to over the past 3 years, they did something that really agitated me. They said that they were going to mail a package to me,
right?
But told me that I was not allowed to open it.
Yeah.
And I'm not the person that likes surprises. I do not like the pack a bag, we're going out of town for a week.
Right.
But I'm not going to tell you where we're going. We're not the, hey, I bought tickets to something tonight, be ready at 8 o'clock.
Is like, your adversity to surprises because of that crying game incident you had back in college?
No, that was one of my best sexual experiences.
Okay, fair enough. Now, you do have the package there. That was sent to you, correct?
Do you have the package right here?
All right, open it up. I mean, it's a very special gift that I wanted you to have.
But should I open it now during Beef of the Week, or do we put it?
No. I think that's perfectly fine. Oh, you got it. That's careful with that knife. Nice opening sound effect there. I swear to God, don't stab yourself. I would feel very bad.
Jesus, you really did a good job taping this thing.
Well, yeah, it's going. It's fragile. So I wanted to make sure it was.
Is it really fragile?
Well, it's breakable.
Breakable?
That's right. Cut away from you. That way you don't stab yourself.
Oh, I'm drinking an 8.1 beer. There's no way I'm not going to stab myself. What the hell is this?
Just open the goddamn box.
What's in the box? It's like a mug.
Coffee mug, very good.
Stonk Investor.
Your official Stonk Investor coffee mug, because, my friend, I could not drink from my Stonk Investor coffee mug.
Oh!
One of your very own.
This is awesome.
So when we are busy making money in stonks, Brian and I can now drink from our Stonk Investor coffee mug.
I take back my beef.
This shouldn't be a beef. This should be a happy time for you.
Do you see the smile on my face? This is awesome.
I see it.
Stonk. Boom, boom. Can you just play the theme song?
Of course. You know I love it.
Stonks.
Stonks.
I love it.
Well, I guess
Ron, what's bothering you?
It's time for my beef. My beef is with companies blaming the post office for their inability to get products to me.
Okay. All righty.
So I ordered a little something from Costco off of their website a little over a week ago, and it said it shipped and it had like a tracking number, but the tracking number never, always said like, oh, we haven't got the package yet. So after 8 days, I'm like, well, I don't think I'm getting this damn thing. So I hop on their little online chat. And they're like, oh, there's a lot of problems with the post office right now. And I'm like, but it didn't even get to the post office. Well, it might have. I'm like, it was one of those deals where it was going to UPS and then UPS was bringing it to the post office. Or whatever. UPS never had it. Well, it could still be in transit. I'm like, well, where is this coming from? Frederick. I'm like, Frederick, Maryland? Yeah. Well, I'm in Pennsylvania. I can guarantee you it's not going to take 8 days.
Right.
She's like, why don't you wait a few days? And then if it hasn't come, I'll process it as a lost item. So I was like, just process it as lost now. Well, if it does show up, you're going to get billed for two. Like, I don't think it's ever showing up. And sure enough, it's a few days later. They are shipping the new one, which I got a tracking number, which actually has an arrival date and still nothing. But it's just like, it's the bullshit of being like, we get it. The post office is fucked up right now and they're not always doing the best, but just don't automatically blame them. When your company is fucking up too. It's my beef.
Don't you think the post office has been attacked enough?
Exactly.
It's just piling on at this point. What was it you ordered, if I may ask?
It was just it's a big bottle of Advil. It's a good price, I buy in bulk, Brian. What can I tell you?
I know you do. I've seen your beer fridge.
True. Very, very true.
I think
it's all right. Well, what's What else do we have? We got a ton of stuff to get to, and we're already a half hour into this show. So where we want to get into the latest mass shooting?
There was a mass shooting?
Yet again.
Colorado! Boulder!
Boulder, Colorado. A shooting
Rocky Mountain.
In a grocery store out there called King Supers in the South Boulder area.
I'm sorry, I would never shop at a King Soup. Is it Supers or Scoopers?
It's a Supers, Soopers.
Okay.
Okay.
All righty.
Before, hold on, I need to address two comments. Janelle's asking, I couldn't go to Costco and get it. My Costco is like a half hour away, and it was literally the only thing I needed. So I wasn't.
Couldn't you have ordered it from Amazon?
It was cheaper from Costco.
But aren't you working now? I mean, when you were on unemployment, I understood you had to save every penny that you could. But, you know, you're making, what, 60 cents on the dollar compared to what you were a year ago? I would imagine you could afford the Amazon's.
And Billy was assuming I was doing bulk orders or cooking orders. I do quality over quantity with my cooking oils, and I would ask you to respect that.
I would say, Ron, that you probably shop from one of those small batch cooking oil websites.
Actually, it's killing me because this diet thing I've been doing, like I've had to like really limit my use of oils and butter. It's killing me.
Now, are we talking in the kitchen or in bed?
Oh, and the bedroom's still fine. It's still 100%. But in the kitchen, I've had to limit my usage of my oils.
And it's bothering you, right?
Well, it's, you know, I mean, that with the reduced calories just continues to make me cranky.
Is it because that you understand that you know that there's a better oil that you should be using, but they won't let you?
It's not a better oil. It's just I'm not using the amounts that I was previously.
How many pounds have we lost so far?
I am down 13 pounds. Thank you.
That's something to be proud of.
Yeah, now, no, I'm excited about the start here. So that's 3 weeks, 13 pounds. That's a good start. I'll be ready for beach season this year. Right.
I'm telling you something. I will bring my ring light. We will do a photo shoot on the beach.
All right. I like it. I like where your head's at.
So there was a shooting. King Supers. Yeah. Now, what I loved about this one was the fact that everybody jumped to the assumption that it was a white male.
Right. When they saw the guy who was arrested, the picture was from a distance. So everyone's like, well, that's a white guy.
He just looked hairy. I don't know that he was. I couldn't tell his ethnicity so much as the fact that he was wearing a mohair sweater.
Right. But not the case. The Colorado mass shooting suspect, his name is Ahmad Alawi Alyssa. Identified as the gunman who killed 10 people, including a Boulder police officer.
Now, I read a very hot take on Twitter about the police officer, and I was very offended by it. The tweet said something along the lines of, I prefer my police officers being the ones that shoot and kill the gunman as opposed to the ones who forget to duck and get shot in the head. You want to talk about needing to close out your Twitter account. Chrissy Teigen should still be on Twitter. The person that tweeted that, they should be long gone.
That was fairly heartless.
It was unacceptable.
But it really, you know, again, it goes to show you, we have had, by the time this had happened, we had had 7 mass shootings in 7 straight days between the Atlanta spa shooting. So clearly America is coming out of the pandemic and is ready to get back out there and start.
What were the other mass shootings? I had only heard about this in Atlanta.
I don't have the list, but I can tell you there's been, I think, 208 mass shootings so far this year.
That's why I live in the Northeast. This shit does not happen in New York.
And what
we have gang shootings that take place. You can get shot at the bodega at 2 a.m. on a Saturday night, but I'm in bed at that point.
But what's also, I think, more frustrating is when you look at Boulder, Colorado. In 2018, they had passed a law banning AR-15s, banning the high-capacity magazines. Two residents of Boulder sued the city over this law. Their lawsuit was backed, not surprisingly, by the NRA. And so about 10 days prior to the shooting, a judge ruled in the favor of the two residents and canceled the ban, said the city couldn't have the ban. And so sure enough, this shooter buys an AR-15 and gets it on the day that he goes and does this shooting.
He bought the gun that day?
That day.
You know, I've got a major problem. We are paralyzed when it comes to gun control.
Right.
The gun lobby and the voice of the people who are anti-gun control is so loud, and we are so afraid of that segment of society in terms of upsetting them, that we cannot have a rational conversation about gun control.
No, it's impossible.
We all speak, and the reason why they do that is they is that that segment of society argues that we don't have a gun problem in America, we have a mental health problem. And when you ask these people, meaning the NRA, the Second Amendment folks, the "you'll pry my gun out of my dead cold hands,"
that whole group,
yeah, they also don't want to address mental health. Because when you say, okay, you say it's a mental health problem, all right, so then let's talk about mental health. Let's talk about what can we do to provide services so that people who are the type who will get their hands on a gun and go on a mass shooting, that we can help these people before they get to that point. End of conversation. We can't talk about that. That's socialized medicine. So it's like that area, that segment of society in America that we are so afraid of, literally is basically standing still saying this is going to happen over and over and over and over again, and good luck when the bullets start flying.
Right. And what's also interesting to me, you know, when you have a situation like you did with the Atlanta Spa shooting, you know, the All Lives Matter group is silent, you know.
Oh, no, and they were never All Lives Matter.
When you have a situation like in Boulder, you know, where a cop dies, the Blue Lives Matter people are silent.
Yes.
And you have Ted Cruz blaming the Democrats of it being theater. You know, every time there is a shooting, we got to talk about gun control. And yes, we do have to talk about gun control every time there's a shooting because you don't fucking do anything about it.
Well, they obstruct the ability to do anything about it. It's not even the fact that they don't do anything about it, but they actively go out of their way. I saw somebody post on Facebook today that Colorado and Atlanta are Joe Biden's fault. That this never would have happened under Donald Trump.
Of course.
And it's like, listen, I understand that the propaganda on social media is just ludicrous. People are in such a funnel of self-fulfilling prophecies and whatnot. But it's like, just sit there and say that that these things would never have happened if Joe Biden wasn't president. And let's be brutally honest, for those people that watched the press conference earlier today, the press conference was actually, I didn't watch it.
I didn't watch it either. I heard he had a lot of notes, a lot of crib sheets. That's all I could tell you.
Listen, let's give him a year or so, just kind of keep him out of trouble, and then let him step down and let Kamala be the Kamala.
All right. You know what is the only thing more dangerous than an AR-15, Brian?
Hold on. Let me guess. I got nothing.
All right. Apparently, a Peloton is the only thing more dangerous than an AR-15.
As we saw
in a story this week, a child was killed in an accident involving a Peloton treadmill. That was according to the fitness company CEO. He said in a letter posted on its website, doesn't go into a tremendous amount of detail, but said that, he recently learned about a tragic accident involving a child and the Tread Plus, resulting in unthinkably a death. So Peloton, their popularity has spiked during the COVID pandemic since people were locked up at home looking for ways to stay in shape. They had introduced actually a more expensive bike and a cheaper treadmill, and are also rolling out an apparel line with Adidas. But you would think this would be somewhat concerning.
While preparing for today's show, and seeing this article about the Peloton, I was doing some research and I found a good housekeeping study that came out just a little bit into December of 2020, found that 43% of all people that owned a Peloton had actually injured themselves while using it. Some of the cases obviously were attributed to user error, but there was a majority of them to mechanical defects, such as the track getting wrapped up around a person's ankle. Two people had to have their legs amputated above the knee because of accidents that took place. There were several stories of Dick. There were several stories, as part of that study where couples had actually had to, marriages were ruined because of the competition that was created between the spouses. We all seem to have embraced the Peloton in 2020. I think maybe 2021 is the year that we acknowledge that maybe.
We're not judgmental here, but I think it's safe to say that, if you have a Peloton, you could be a murderer.
Well, it's the idea that you're not, based on the numbers that I was seeing, it seems as if you are the owner of a Peloton, you do not value your safety or the safety of those that live under your roof. One of the statistics that I pulled out of that study was 72% of all households that owned a Peloton had an increased rate of heart attacks while exercising.
The videos that you watch while
using the Peloton are set to abnormally have force you to exercise harder than your body can handle.
There you go.
And let's not talk about the inherent racism that is also included in the Peloton. The different exercise coaches, I guess, is the word you want to use. Is that the right?
I believe, yes.
There's one coach that uses the hard R in the N word. And depending on where you live geographically within America, Peloton will have you taking more of those classes from that coach. I mean, there's a lot of stuff about the Peloton that made me very uncomfortable as a product.
Before we run too late, also, we should...
Running late?
We should thank this week's sponsor, Nordic Track. That's right, folks. Nordic Track, the producer of fine quality in-home exercise equipment. Brian, should we give a quick update on March Madness and how our brackets are doing and how, more importantly, our side bet is doing?
Let's talk about it.
For those of you that remember last week, obviously the NCAA tournament started last week. Brian and I filled out a bracket going head-to-head to see who could do better, with the side bet being that whoever wins the bracket, the other will have to pay for 2,000 shares of LaborSmart Stonk to put in the other's account. They closed at about 3.8 cents today.
So, yes, just under 4 cents a share.
A nice 12.5% increase. So that could end up by the time April 5th or 6th.
When we made this bet just a week ago, that stock was about 2.5 cents per share. It's almost 4 cents a share. So that bet has increased by a factor of about 80%.
So shockingly, after the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament, Brian and I are in a dead heat, both of us at and 70 points with the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, Final Four championship still to go. I should point out, however, as far as maximum total points, I can max out at 1530. Brian, the best you can do right now is 1210. So you are your future doesn't look incredibly.
That's my SAT score. I 1210. That was my SAT score. I'm not concerned. Alabama all the way.
You have Alabama.
Roll Tide.
I have Gonzaga winning. So it all comes down really to Alabama and Creighton, which you had going to the Final Four. A ballsy pick. So we will update that again next week, let you know how that tournament's going.
Is Creighton not good this year?
I don't think they can beat Gonzaga. Gonzaga is undefeated on the season. But
what? You never know. Gonzaga's undefeated?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
That's why you click on the little stuff next to the teams. You can see their records and everything.
Son of a bitch!
But again, Alabama runs the table, you can still take this home. So good luck
to you. I'll take it. Thank you. I will not say good luck to you because you don't need it.
Can we talk about the Cinnamon Toast Crunch guy? Because this has become the one of the great stories of the week. And I feel like we need to discuss it. And if you haven't heard about the Cinnamon Toast Crunch guy, we will educate you quickly on this. So this starts off with a comedian from L.A., Jensen Karp, who has a Twitter account. And on it, he posts a picture stating that he found shrimp tails in his industrial-sized box of Cinnamon Toast Crunch that he got from Costco.
Do we have the photo lined up?
I do not have the photo lined up.
Can you line that up while I talk for a moment?
I probably could, yes.
Take a moment or two, pull up, because I think it is, if we're going to go down this wormhole of the Cinnamon Toast Crunch shrimp tail debacle, I think it's worthy that we actually show the photo. So one of the great things about social media, and I know I trash it left and right, but it is, it has provided direct access to whomever it is you want to talk to. Back in the day, meaning when I was a child growing up in the Hardin streets, in the Hardin streets of Queens, if you had a complaint about a product, you would have to write a letter to, you would have to write a letter to a P.O. box in Missouri, and you would have no idea where that was going or whatnot. Now with social media, all you have to do is find the account name at them in a tweet, and they are seeing this. So this guy, Ron, I'll let you take the story.
So yeah, so as you can see, he's holding the shrimp tails in his left hand there. And so Cinnamon Toast Crunch responds to him on Twitter and says, you know, we're sorry to see that. You know, we'd like to report this to the quality team. Can you DM us to collect some more details? And of course, they're trying to, you know, maybe offer him some more boxes and everything else. And so then they eventually they tweet again and says, after further investigation, it appears to be an accumulation of the cinnamon sugar that sometimes can occur when ingredients aren't thoroughly blended. We assure you that there is no possibility of cross-contamination with shrimp.
No.
Best for them would have been to say nothing. Correct. At all, because those are clearly fucking shrimp tails.
That is very much shrimp tail. And he tweeted with the photo of them.
Right. And again, maybe the shrimp tails did not get into the box at the factory. Maybe it was tampered with somewhere along the lines. But so now Jensen Karp accuses Cinnamon Toast Crunch of trying to gaslight him. He uses that word specifically.
Now, gaslight means what? Well, I've used it multiple times. I don't know exactly what it means.
When you're basically trying to convince somebody of some, you know, that they're wrong, you know, even though they are completely right. Like you are trying to just, you know, blow smoke.
Got it.
I guess you could say.
Got it.
So he gets pissed off at this. So there, he keeps posting there. You know, he and Cinnamon Toast Crunch are going back and forth through DMs. Cinnamon Toast Crunch is like, "Can you return it to us?" He's like, "I don't know that I want to return everything." They're like, "Fine, take it to your own lab, get it tested." In the meantime, his wife checks the second bag, because it was a two bag, one of those, like I said, Costco type.
Like a Costco.
Right. And Fines, like, and you can see in the right picture here, Fines like a piece of what looks like dental floss, Fines possibly like rat droppings in the bag and everything else. So now it's like it's amped up to a whole other level. And then people go crazy because they find out who Jensen Karp's wife is. And it is, for those of us who used to love Boy Meets World back in the day, the actress that played Topanga, Danielle Fishel.
Okay, I never saw Boy Meets World. What is the deal really? With that show? I've heard of it. It seems to be one of those like worship TV shows, but I don't know anything about it.
I mean, it was basically like a show about this kid.
Hold on a second. Let me guess what this is about. A Jewish kid in the suburbs with the non-threatening Jewish girl who's got lip filler, and she seems to be of a vague ethnic background where she probably could fit in a bunch of different slots. So several people would identify with her. So my gut tells me is that the plot of this is that he lives with his parents and it's really about him. And she plays the daughter of the couple who live next to him. And he harbors, he has a crush on her.
You've gotten it completely wrong up to this point.
So why stop now? Let me keep going. So he's anyway, got a huge crush
get,
on her.
I got to get back to Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I can't have this foolishness anymore. So anyway, people who are fans of the show and fans of Topanga are like, holy shit. And then they find out that Topanga did like a promoted tweet on her account like a year ago promoting Cinnamon Toast Crunch Creamer from Coffee Mate. So now people...
How do we know that it was promoted?
Because she said, she basically received, like, if you look at the tweet, like, it's five, like, you know, specific, like, modeled poses of her in a kitchen with the bottle of creamer. And she got paid for the whole thing. So then, after we've had a few days to enjoy Cinnamon Toast Crunch, well, then all of a sudden, one of this guy's ex-girlfriends, Melissa Stetton, tweets, and saying that he is this manipulative, gaslighting, narcissistic ex-boyfriend. And apparently who once told her he was surprised that she hadn't killed herself because her life was so worthless. And then she also tweets that she's getting a lot of texts from girls still in therapy that were involved with this guy. So now we get him being canceled after a few days. And so now you just have this string of tweets about what a horrible, manipulative, emotionally abusive, narcissistic person this guy is.
And it's all a series of verified accounts on Twitter. Like these aren't right. anonymous accounts. These are all Hollywood actresses, albeit D-level, but who am I to judge? I'm not here to judge.
No.
But they're all sitting there being like, this guy is the worst guy I've ever dated, and he ruined my life for a year after we dated. So the idea now is that he put those, is the assumption is that this was all a publicity hoax?
I mean, it's hard to say, and I don't know if we'll ever get an answer now, because he's really gone like radio silent since all these accusations came out against him.
But has he deleted his Twitter account?
He has not deleted it, and he has not turned it private. So he is still at least keeping it out there.
So I got to give him more credit than Chrissy Teigen, even though it seems like he's actually a worse human being than she is.
But to top it all off, Jensen Karp was also a child rapper named Hot Carl. Is that Chance the Rapper tweeted the other day that apparently back in the day, Jensen gave Chance the Rapper like $5,000 to record a video. He apparently recorded an entire album, which just never took off.
But is it available on YouTube?
We'll have to take a look and see. I'm apparently freezing here. I'm getting some...
Could it be something that we show during the After Dark without getting kicked off?
We can certainly give it a try and see what happens.
Because one time in college, I was at a bar.
You had a hot
and this
Carl.
Guy was buying me a he gave me a hot Carl. Very, very clever, Ron. I didn't know that you saw where that one was going.
You know what? I've done. We're coming on 3 years of this show. I think I've seen enough to really know to know what's going on. Let's see. What else do we got? We got.
But that was the fun internet story of the week.
And it's so amazing how on the internet these days you can really have like an entire cycle of a story like this in just like 3 days, where everyone's like, oh yeah, it's funny, you know, there's shrimp tails in somebody's box of cereal, and oh well, no, he's a horrible person.
Well, he is a horrible person. Yeah. There's no denying that.
Yeah, without a doubt. What else do we got this week, Brian?
Celebrity deaths. We lost some good ones this week.
It was a rough week. You want to talk about a few of them?
Well, first off, Hollywood actor George Segal, or Seagal, as I like to call him, because when he was not playing America's grandfather on the Goldbergs, George Seagal was also known as a knife-wielding karate action star in such hits as In Cold Blood 4.
I think you have him confused with Steven Seagal.
Yes. So George Segal died at 87, worth 13 points for those who were participating in our Ron and Brian death pool. Nobody had George Segal.
No.
It gets worse. Talladega Night actor Houston Tumlin. A lot of people are going to be like, I remember Will Ferrell. I remember Ricky Bobby. I remember Sacha Baron Cohen. I remember John C. Reilly. I remember.
I'll be impressed if you can remember anybody else that was in that movie.
Fuck. I remember. It's the guy from The Green Mile. It was the father. The guy who played the father was great. Oh, Jane Lynch was the mother.
Was she?
Suck it. Yeah, Jane Lynch played the mother.
All right. I'll take your word.
Anywho, but he played Will Ferrell's oldest son. So in the famous scene at the dinner table, when the two kids were literally ripping apart their grandfather, physically threatening him with violence, that kid living in Alabama, clearly he did not pick University of Alabama in his March Madness pool, which is why he was so distraught, shot himself in the head. We do not know if methamphetamines were involved, but it was the kind of thing. Remember that face when he was like, ah, Grandpa, ah, kick your ass. But it was way more clever because he looks like the kind of guy that would that stormed the Capitol, which is funny. First off, it's true. But also, one of the other things I like about that that reference is the fact that literally it's just such a broad stroke that you are applying to an entire human being, and everybody understands what you're talking about.
Who else did we lose this week, Brian?
Oof. This one really hurt. Jessica Walter, star of Arrested Development, also star of a voice actress on Archer, played the mother. Her standout turn was in Clint Eastwood's directorial debut, Play Misty For Me, also starred in The Flamingo Kid, and her Emmy-nominated turns on Trapper John, M.D., in the streets of San Francisco, passing away in her sleep at her home in New York City, the age of 80.
80 or 87?
This article says 80, but I don't want to give the impression that I'm reading.
My apologies.
God damn it, Ron. Pay attention. Those were the big deaths of the week. We also lost Yankee great Bobby Brown at the age of 96, which is such a shame because it's coming on the heels of losing his wife, Whitney Houston, in a tub, losing his daughter, Mickey Bobby Brown, and then losing his son, Nick Brown, recently. You hate to see such loss in a family, but Yankee great Bobby Brown passes away at the age of 96 earlier today. Ron, I have a question for you.
Yes.
What are you watching?
You know what? I have to admit, I didn't really watch anything new. I'm still getting through Counterpart right now on Amazon Prime. I'm into season 7. I think about halfway through. So
You started this like a week and a half ago, correct?
Yeah.
And you're on season 7?
Season 2, I said.
Oh, I thought you said season 7.
No, there was only 2 seasons to it.
Okay.
Brian, what are you watching?
Earlier this weekend, I knocked out the Tiger.
You don't have to drink every time I drink. It's not necessary.
I watched the Tiger Woods documentary on HBO.
How was that?
A friend of mine recommended it. I'm going to tell you something. I fucking hate golf. I hate everything about golf. I hate the golf culture. I hate the golf clothes. I hate the fact that there's hundreds of acres of America that could be used for parks and whatnot that are dedicated to just wasted for fat white men to feel like they're still being athletic. I'm going to tell you something. This was a great documentary. I highly recommend it.
Okay.
It's not a golf documentary so much as it is a study of this individual, this human being, and what their childhood was like and how their childhood was very different than everyone else's, and how that the effect of that childhood and the parenting and the pressure put this human being literally to the heights of what a human being is capable of physically, and at the same time provided this human being with absolutely zero life skills to deal with the life that they were led down. Not to say that the cheating scandals should be looked past on, but this was a guy who all he knew how to do was play golf.
Right. That's all he was taught from a young age as a child.
It's 2 episodes. Each are about an hour and a half, hour 40. I highly recommend it on HBO. If you're paying for it, please go watch it over the weekend. If you're not paying for it, reach out to somebody that you know and get their login and use that.
All right.
Because fuck the corporations.
Let's see. We do have a couple of COVID stories before we wrap up here today. First one involving Texas Roadhouse founder Kent Saylor, who apparently committed suicide due to unbearable long-term symptoms of COVID-19. He was 65 years old, apparently took his life last Thursday, apparently also had been experiencing a number of post-coronavirus symptoms that had grown worse, including severe tinnitus or ringing in the ear.
So you're saying basically the Texas Roadhouse's CEO is a weak-ass bitch because he couldn't handle what 3 million Americans have gone through.
But he's still responsible for that great cinnamon butter they give you with the rolls at Texas Roadhouse. So you have to give a little bit of credit. Okay.
What's the difference between Texas Roadhouse and Outback Steakhouse? When you really think about it.
The steaks are better at Texas Roadhouse than Outback, without question.
Really?
And they give you the crappy brown bread at Outback where they give you the fresh rolls and cinnamon butter at Texas Roadhouse.
Okay. I've only been to Texas Roadhouse probably twice.
Okay. Listen,
I haven't been to an Outback in a while.
Steak, don't get me wrong, but it's better than an Outback steak.
Ironically, I could walk to a Texas and I could walk to an Outback right now.
Well, we're doing the show right now, so.
Would you be upset if I just stood up and walked away?
I mean, it would be a problem. Who would I talk to?
Well, if I leave now, I could be back in 26 minutes for After Dark Pajama Party, which is something that we do once a month, the final Thursday of the month. we send out a link to all of our Patreons who are at the bronze or higher. So it's basically $10 a month. You spend more a month on your iced lattes with oat milk. Is it oat milk?
You can get milk. I am a almond milk fan, personally.
Is that because you can't handle the dairy?
Fewer calories, Brian. You find your
Run to work ass bitch.
I can actually feel the 8.1 kicking in because I never would have said that had it not been for the case. But you know, I say that with total love and whatnot.
Can we just say that Johanna knows way too much about Texas Roadhouse? It seems from the comments.
What did she say?
You can also apparently sit on a saddle on your birthday at Texas Roadhouse.
Yeah, you know why she knows that?
A peanut barrel. Why is that?
That's because she lives in like whack ass Pennsylvania in the middle of fucking nowhere. For her, going to a Texas Roadhouse is like one of the best dining options within literally a 1 hour driving radius from her ranch style home. It's an American ranch.
Right. I get it.
I forgot what we were talking about.
I don't know. Well, I think that might mean...
Oh, yeah, we're talking about the fucking pajama party. The pajama party. Once a month, we have our Patreons join us on the show. Just like we're doing right now, it is Ron and Brian right now. But you know what? We're going to be joined by our Patreons. We do it once a month. We usually go for about an hour or so. Last month, a lot of sex stories.
We're just saying.
I opened... You know, myself, not physically, but emotionally. Not that I wouldn't be willing to open myself physically if that's what it took to get more Patreons to come onto the show.
Right.
But it is one, if I personally feel, and you can tell me if you disagree with this, I feel that it is one of the best values. It is one of the best things that we offer to our Patreons.
Oh, it's a bargain. It's very much a bargain. I mean, at just $10 a month, bronze level Patreon, you get access to the live show. I say we wrap it up. We get ready for the pajama party. We pour ourselves another beer, put on our jammies, and get ready to party.
I like your style, my friend.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. For our Patreon folks, we will see you in a little bit. Brian, any additional words of wisdom before we cut on out of here?
Just be kind to each other. You know, these are crazy, shitty times. And if we all just tried to be a little bit nicer to each other, maybe this world could be a little bit better place. So if you see an opportunity to be nicer to your fellow human being, give it a shot. You'll feel better about yourself. And maybe you'll make somebody else's life feel a little bit better.
All right. Sounds good. We will catch all of you next week.